The Airline Podcast is brought to you by me, Jordan Willman. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite North American carriers, Alaska Airlines. Here we go, about to take off for episode number 3. Well, we're already into episode number 3. So excited for this one. Major U.S. airline operating an extensive network of scheduled passenger and cargo services to nearly 70 destinations in the western United States, Canada, and Mexico. That is Alaska Airlines. And that is the reading today from the Airline Recognition Guide, which some of you may remember from last episode. So I'm very excited to do Alaska Airlines, because this is an airline out of maybe the 8 or 9 I've flown on, the one that I've flown with the most, and have a lot of good feedback, considering I just flew with them to Hawaii this past Christmas. And I think in total I've probably flown with this airline 5 or 6 times, so I have a lot of experience with them, that's for sure. So before we kind of get into it, I always try and see if there's any airline news to cover, and there wasn't really anything that was popping out for me today. By the way, before I get into that at all, the thumbnail credit, can't remember who I'm giving this credit to, found it online, an Alaska Airlines flight, I believe, around Anchorage, or the top of the West Coast, I think, between Anchorage and Vancouver, and you can see the northern lights, and it's absolutely beautiful. So hopefully you see the thumbnail with the podcast when you download it through iTunes or on your mobile device. My goal is to actually really change the thumbnails as much as I can. And if you guys have any images from certain airlines when I announce what airline we're going to do each episode, feel free to send me them, theairlinepodcast@hotmail.com, along with any feedback or voice memos that you want to send me so I can get you in the cast. But I'll talk about more feedback later on. So a bit of the airline news that I'm going to cover, there's a few things. Of course, maybe some of you out there already know if you're aviation fans and airline geeks like myself. Excuse me, getting a little drink there, is the whole U.S. Airways pornographic tweet that got sent out, I think, yesterday or the other day. So basically, for those of you who don't know, this picture kind of got tweeted out of this person, or this girl in particular, sticking a Boeing 777 into a part of her body in a sexual manner. If you really want to see the picture, you can Google image it or find it on a blog or a website. And basically it was in response to a passenger who was upset because I guess her flight got canceled and she needed a refunded ticket or something like that. And basically it got removed right away, but it was too late because it was already leaked out, I think, for like a half hour or 15 minutes. It wasn't even leaked out too long before it was deleted. But by that point it was already retweeted and people saved the picture and sent it out. So yeah, that's kind of, I'm not going to get into much of that cause it's kind of stupid and pointless. But I actually do have a bit of news here. So basically, one thing I found really interesting, I think as of yesterday or 2 days ago as well, Singapore Airlines is now the title sponsor of, the Formula One race in Singapore. I don't know if any of you are Formula One fans. I'm actually a huge Formula One fan, so this is actually kind of cool. They're going to be the title sponsor now of the Singaporean Grand Prix in September. So the race now gets a title, a huge title sponsor, which I think will help out really benefit, I guess, both parties in that point. And so good for Singapore Airlines and Formula One with Bernie to cut a deal. I know Bernie doesn't take things cheap, but hey, who doesn't? Lufthansa as well. I don't know if any of you know, but there's been, Lufthansa's had a number of strikes over the last year, and between its pilots and ground staff, and really almost anyone who's worked with them. And it's too bad to see a great airline like that go through the mishaps they have. But anyway, so their basically goal is to keep in restructuring their entire, what's the word I'm looking for? Union? Anyway, restructure their organization and try and cut costs and drive revenue. So that's kind of their goal going after 2015, because I think they have, from what I know, from what I read from the article, they have a new business plan and structure that they're trying to put in place, and hopefully they can get things going, I'd say, over the next couple years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. And maybe cut costs in some of their ticket prices, which would be nice, because I love Lufthansa, but, you know, they're kind of expensive. And so especially if you're trying to fly inner Germany, which a lot of people now just fly with Air Berlin or charters or KLM, even though they're not even German. That's pretty much the news that I wanted to talk about, other than, you know, Malaysian Airlines, they're heading underwater now to try and find this black box in some of the areas from before. So it'll be interesting to see what they find. Again, show me the evidence first before we say it's crashed. I don't know. I think it's been long enough that it's probably hiding somewhere in the Middle East of the world. I mean, you don't really, there's still a lot of things we don't know about that parts of the world yet. So, yeah, I don't really want to get into it too much, really, until we find out more things and do just, I've been driven crazy from it. One other thing I actually did want to talk about, and where is it here? Yes. Etihad Airways. Etihad Airways, that people that say pronounce it wrong, are actually getting close into buying a fairly, I don't want to say a large stake, but a decent stake in Alitalia, which is Italy's primary airline. And their goal is to kind of get a connection with Alitalia so they can get a bit of a stake in revenues and kind of use that airline to their advantage from the European market leading into the Middle Eastern market. And all this would really do, for any of you who are curious what would happen, it would just kind of increase Alitalia's route production into going into the Middle East more, where Etihad Airways usually flies through. So that could be interesting, because they're close on a deal. But again, I think they're trying to invest $350 million, which would be about 49%, so less than half, but still a good chunk. But nothing's confirmed yet, and I think, basically, it's funny because Alitalia, since it was basically put into bankruptcy about 2006, 2005, and then it was re-bought out by a new management team. Because Alitalia's former shareholder, before they went bankrupt, was KLM and Air France, because even though they're two separate companies, they're kind of in a merger together. And Alitalia had a bit of a merger been before with Air France and KLM before. They kind of went bankrupt around 04, 05, 06, and the new owners came in. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from this point. I know the airline's done much better, Alitalia, since the new management has come in like 5-6 years ago. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I always find airline mergers kind of funny, because a lot of people think, I think a lot of people freak out and think that, oh no, the airline's not going to be there, or it's going to just do what the other airline is. But, I mean, a perfect example is like KLM and Air France. I mean, they're still run by two different people. The only difference with the merger is that it's almost like a mini Star Alliance and One World kind of thing, right? They work together in that sense. But it's, you know, it's kind of stupid when you think about it, really. So that's basically all for the airline news. And I kind of want to get right into talking about Alaska Airlines right here. So, yeah, let's get right into the next segment of our podcast. Here we go. can't wait to get into this portion of the podcast where I get to talk about Alaska Airlines, like I mentioned before, one of my favorite North American carriers. So you might notice a bit of a different kind of leeway in this, and that is because I recorded the first part of this podcast a couple days ago, haven't had time to get the second part up, which is the airline talk, and here it is right now for me to do it a couple days later with a couple boos in me. So give me the benefit of a doubt here as we go into this portion of the podcast. Very excited, though. Very excited. So I didn't really explain the grading that well when I did Air Canada Episode 2. So I'm going to kind of break it down for you guys, kind of how I mark it. So my grading sheet kind of is like this. And so I rate kind of the fleet and the aircraft, related things to the aviation side of the airline, the routes, all that stuff, out of 5. I rate the website and app together out of 5. The overall experience, which kind of includes the first two things, out of 5. And then I have starred in the next section is my experience with the airline. This won't apply to the airlines that I haven't flown with. So, for instance, Alaska Airlines, it will apply because I've flown with them before many times. So, all of you probably remember that beautiful little interlude I did. Excuse me. Where I basically said, I'll say it again, major U.S. airline operating an extensive network of scheduled passenger and cargo services to nearly 70 destinations in the western United States and Canada and all over Mexico. Out of my airliner's recognition guide, which you guys heard me say this quote for probably a second or third time already. Alaska Airlines. Well, what do I have to say about them? First of all, they're a pretty smart airline, especially how they've been governed and managed over the years. And I feel like a lot of people in North America, especially if you're on the West Coast, don't give them enough credit, considering what you pay for their flights and their aircraft, their experience with them, your experience on board with them. And, you know, they're a very good airline, and I think they're very underrated. So as I did the first cast, or episode 2 of Air Canada, I'm all over the place, sorry. I'm going to talk to you about the aircraft that they have in service. So obviously they only have 737s. They have 23 737 Series 400s. So that's quite a lot, considering the 400 series has been kind of retired, or let go from certain airlines. I think an airline that still uses them that's pretty prevalent is an airline like, or two airlines are Qantas and Lufthansa, but other than that, there's a lot of airlines that don't use them really anymore, but still a really good serviceable aircraft, especially the 400s with the winglets. Those are actually really nice looking because they're really small, but they have 5 400 Cs, and for those of you who don't know what the 400 C is, the only real difference with them from the opposed to the regular 400 series is the freighting capacity underneath the aircraft. There's a lot more of it, and basically they have room for 4 large freighting pallets instead of, I think, the standard 2 on the regular 737-400, I believe. So for cargo-wise, I mean, that's pretty smart. They have 1 400F. Which is their cargo one. All of you know that cargo aircraft, especially from Boeing, have an F at the end of it, like the 767F or 300F. So they only have one of those. And it's interesting because Alaska got their 737-400F modified specifically when they got it. Because now if you go to airports like Seattle or Vancouver International, Honolulu, Portland, Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, up the west coast of North America, you usually will see this Alaska Airlines 737-400F at some point. And it's really unique because, like I was saying, they modified their 400F to have close to being able to hold almost 10 freighting pallets which is a lot for a 737, considering that the 400C that they have as the 4, they managed to squeeze out, I mean, a ton of room in it. And it's actually kind of interesting because it's a little bit elongated compared to the regular 400s and a little bit wider. Something that you really couldn't tell unless you went up to it. But I actually think it's a beautiful aircraft, especially as it says Alaska Cargo. I think it's actually really cool. And that's enough for the lower series, because then they have 15 737-700s. So the 700 series, one of the more popular series of the 737s. They have 15 of them. It's one of the more familiar ones, like the 737-800 series, which I'll get to in a second, with the winglets. Some of their 737-700 series have the winglet, some of them don't. I don't have the exact number a number with me right now. But the nice thing, and actually one of the interesting thing about the 700 series, is that after kind of the 400 series were developed from Boeing, and really the 600 series, when they moved into the 700 series, it was the first of the next generation of the 737s. Compared to before, because from 600 down, they were all kind of built in a certain era when the 737s first started to come out, and there was kind of a bit of a gap before the 700 series came out, which was the beginning of Boeing's next generation of 737 aircraft. So the 700's really pretty, especially the ones with the winglets. It's probably one of my favorite ones for sure. Next to the 900 series, which I will get to. Interesting fact here, and I just need to pull it up. The 700 series, its seating capacity is about 149-150. The range is almost 4,000 miles. And the 700 series has the largest or the longest range out of any 737, almost hitting 4,000 miles. So 3,900 miles, and that's a large range. Realistically, put this in perspective, you could fly one of these from Chicago to one of the top islands in Hawaii and still have an extra, I think, 200 miles, which is crazy. Cruising speed, it's about Mach 0.78, which is the standard for the 737s, but that's just a little FF fun fact of the 700 series, and what makes it so unique is that range, almost 4,000 miles. That's crazy, considering the next one better is the 900 series, which is about 37. So yeah, so their next aircraft that I want to talk about is the 800 series, which everybody knows because this is the most mass-produced 737 out there. And they have 61 of them, which is, they use a variance of, which they use for a variance of different flights. It's funny because 28 of the 61 aircraft are ETOPS configured. And for those of you who don't know what ETOPS is, it's an acronym for Extended Range Twin Operations. So basically, the engines are modified to extend the actual range that they were preset with Boeing. So Boeing basically, with their engine maps, modified the standard 737 engines that they use that have the same cruise speed, even though with different range, depending on the size of the aircraft, and modified the aircraft to go that extra range. So the 800 series of 28 of them for the Alaska Airlines, the 800 series, can go quite far, considering it's, 189 people, 189 seats, which is more than the 700 series. But with the 28 of them with the extended range, it's very good for flights to Anchorage and Honolulu and Maui from the west coast of North America. Now, my favorite 737, the 900 series, there's 12 of them in service, and I believe they're supposed to be getting a couple more of the 900s before. They're getting 28 900ERs, which I'll get to in a second. Which that's one of the new Boeing 737s, updated ones, right before the MAX has come out. And the 900ER, this is where the extended range comes in, similar to what I was talking about with the 800 series, 28 of them. The idea behind the 737-900ER was basically to the 900 series with the extended range to basically kind of pick up some of the slack that, say, the 757 had, which is really too bad because that's one of my favorite aircrafts ever, the 757, and they have about 28 of these to be delivered between 2012 and 2017. In fact, Alaska already has about 17 of them. They're halfway, almost halfway through their purchase or their orders for the 900ER, which is an absolute beautiful aircraft. In fact, if any of you are flying from, I think it's San Francisco to Honolulu, or is it down to Cancun? I think, yeah, if you fly down to Cancun with Alaska, you will have the 900ER. And if you get the chance to fly on them, they're the newest aircraft to its fleet, so definitely enjoy it. I know their seating, it's definitely updated, so because some of the interior of all the Alaska Airlines, their aircraft is quite outdated for the most part, even some of their newer ones. But if you ever get a chance to fly on that new 900ER, you will see a very nice increase in the. What am I trying to say here? And the overall quality of the aircraft inside. And then they have two sets of orders for the MAX 8 and the MAX 9, 20 orders for the MAX 8 and 17 orders for the MAX 9. And I think the date, again, all for the MAXs for the 737s are anywhere between 27, 2018 to 2022. So they still got a good amount of time before those come in. One of the most recent retired aircraft was the MD-80s, which is one of my favorite aircraft commercially to fly on, especially with Alaska, because I've flown it before with them and it was so cool. They retired them. Actually, I was very lucky because I was down in California with my, well, I think it was the first time with my dad and my brother, and we flew back on an MD-80, and that was really beautiful. And it was like it was the end of the summer, so yeah, it was the end of 2000. I think at the end of 2007 or 2008 of the summer, but it was right before they retired the aircraft, so it was really cool to fly in it for the last time and be part of that. So that's kind of the aircraft. Now I kind of want to go over their website. Alaska Airlines is a very, very simple, easy way to book flights, and I recommend it to anyone in North America flying up the West Coast or flying to Hawaii or Mexico. Hit up alaskaairlines.com for the websites. It's so easy. Like, I'll even do it right now, Vancouver to Maui. You go in there, type in your dates, submit it, takes you through the process. Shouldn't take more than 5 to 10 seconds, really. And then right away, it shows you the time. The one thing I love about their website when you're purchasing tickets is that, for one, they give you the airlines that maybe if you need to connect, like say you're going with American or Air Canada, to get to the airport to fly with them. And they also give the stoppage. The times are displayed out there, so you don't just need to hit on the price thing, to hit the detail thing like at some airline websites. It's all there right in front of you. The flight information's all down the side, and then you have coach and then first class. With their tickets. The nice thing too, if you're flying, and this is a little tip for any of you who are flying to Hawaii in particular, Maui or Honolulu with Alaska, say you're flying from Seattle or Bellingham or San Fran, my advice is to try and book your tickets somewhat early because you can get a really good deal. And if you want to do this and you're like me and you want to see if you can get upgraded for free or for a good cost, keep checking on how packed the flight is by doing kind of fake, how do I say it? like you're just going on and typing in a fake trip, fake flight plan, so then you can see how many seats are left. And my advice is to do that because if you go up to your Alaska Airlines counter before the flight, when you're checking in, You can inquire about it. They may say no. But before you go on, you can always inquire to see, hey, are any of those first... They call them first class, but I call it more business. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, you can inquire about it. And sometimes you can pay a fee up to if they do have room. Especially if you're a single traveler with Alaska, this can get away a little bit easier. You can get upgraded for free or sometimes even a deal. Sometimes you might even have to pay $20 right before you get on. So keep that in mind for anyone who wants to upgrade. Although for the most part, their first and business classes range from $750 to $990. So if you're in the mood to splurge, go for it. The widened seats are actually very comfortable. I do recommend them. And so, yeah, going back to their website, very easy. Then if you find the flights you want, click on them, go through the payment section, the seating selection, very, very straightforward. I also downloaded their app for this podcast so I could tell you guys how the app is. So download that app. It's called Alaska Air for their app. You can get notifications if you want, which is really nice. When I went to Maui, I actually got this app specifically for the trip. So we could check in and do all of our information and I think change seats. I think we changed seats. I don't know if we did or we didn't, but anyway, their app is so nice. You can check on flight statuses. You can check on flights that are happening right now if you're a big aviation buff. Your schedules, you can check in. You can even book flights or change your flights on the app, which makes it super helpful, especially if you're on your way to the airport and, you know, you're driving and maybe you have to make a change with your seat or something. You are able to do that via the app. Their app's actually really simple and easy to use. And if you're on the West Coast of North America a lot and you're wanting to choose an airline to fly with Alaska, because one, you get good deals, and two, they make their app fairly easy to use, and their website, just to go on there, log on, book flights, and change anything. And you can even get an Alaska Airlines profile. And the nice thing about if you get an Alaska Airlines profile, and I think a lot of people feel that, oh, if you don't, if you sign up for some airlines, sign up to an airline just to receive newsletters or whatever, you're just going to get spam or whatever. But Alaska Airlines have it pretty, they do it interestingly. I don't even know if that's a good way of phrasing it, but they do it well, because you can sign up to go onto AlaskaAirlines.com. And it's great for when you book flights and check in. And the best thing about it too is that they'll always, once in a while, they'll send out little emails that'll be like, if you book a flight from this date to this date, with you being a member, blah, 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 of Alaska Airlines, you'll get 15% off or something like that. And say if you're planning to go away for Christmas and you have a family of four, and you're able to get like 15% off on your tickets or something, and each ticket, that's pretty good. So even be a member for that, because sometimes if the stars align, you can get yourself a smoking deal with some of their offers that they give out through email. So I highly recommend it. I love their app. It's, like I said, super easy to use and really good to check on your flight status. So I'm going to read a couple customer reviews. And this review is from a guy named Trevor Coble. He posted this review a couple days ago. I'm reading these reviews off Skytrax Air Travel Rating and Reviews website for airline quality. And I want to read a couple of these out. Unfortunately, I didn't really get any feedback, but I'll get to that in the feedback section, because there are some good points I want to point out and thank for some people. So here's the first review from Trevor Cobell from somewhere in Canada in my neck of the woods. Hey, Trevor. My first experience with Alaska Airlines. I didn't expect the level of service from the stewards on board. My two young sons, myself and my wife, traveled from Edmonton to Seattle and then to Honolulu. The stewards dealing with objectionable passengers, i.e. children running up and down the aisles, were professional and polite with them. I was able to extend my legs into the aisle without being harassed to remove them. One return bad weather delayed our connection. Other than that, it was a great experience. He rated the flight 9 out of 10, and I couldn't agree with him more. I think the stewards are very friendly and easygoing if you need something during the flight. I'll read another one here for you. Let me pull up another one here. Okay. So this one's from February 1st. What their flight was. This is from Bastion Antion, so from, I believe, Portland. Or somewhere in the US, it says. Anyway, my flight from Seattle to Sacramento, I paid an extra $50 for a first class upgrade. See, that's what I was telling you about. Sometimes your upgrades, you can get anywhere from 20 to 75, I think. Anyway, the upgrade was worth the extra $50. Although legroom wasn't what I would have expected, I was in 1D behind the bulkhead. Ooh, yeah, not a very good choice, Bastion. The food and complimentary wine were good. The service was content. I would recommend Alaska based on my first class travel experiences. Like I said, that's where it comes to paying the extra. Sometimes you get it for free, but for the most part, they don't usually fill up. Well, from the flights I've been with them, they're first and they're biz flat first, or what I like to call business. And if they do have a couple seats open, sometimes you don't even have to pay. But I know from experience, you can pay up around 25 to 75, but I would say the average would be $50 if you ask it there. So remember, keep that in mind, especially if you're a single traveler. You get it way better than being with a group of people. I'll read one more. There was one here that I was reading yesterday, and I was like, gotta get this on the cast. Yeah, it's funny, I do my cast in a couple days, not just in one sitting. Which I kind of prefer because I get thoughts generating through my head. Oh, yes. So this one's from Bergevin, David Bergevin from the US. He says, "Round trip Seattle to Houston. Everything as expected, on time from the crew. Arrived back in Seattle 30 minutes early. I've flown Alaska at least once a year for the past 10 years. Have never had a late flight or lost luggage. Companion fare is a great deal, $99 plus tax anywhere. They fly you. If you don't like the seats in back, quit whining and pony up the money to sit up front." That is a very good way of saying it. And considering you can, like I mentioned before, upgrade for a reasonable deal, less than $100, or pony up the extra money and sit in there first in business class, which I recommend any of you doing if you're going to Hawaii because, especially if you end up getting a headwind like we did. Yeah, almost an extra half hour to 40 minutes of flying time. Now, there was a negative review that I was wanting to pull up because I kind of disagreed with what they were saying, especially when they were talking about service. Okay, yeah, here it is. So this is from R. Leahy from somewhere in the US. He posted this December 3rd, 2013. "Absolutely awful service. I missed my flight to Honolulu for business because of my connecting flight, also an Alaska Airlines flight. Was 20 minutes late arriving. I got to the departure gate in Honolulu in time to see the plane sit there for a few minutes before pushing back. If only they have held the plane 5 to 10 min for me, and the other half dozen other connecting passengers could make the flight. Worse yet, they offered no hotel or even club accommodations, even though this was our last flight and it was entirely the airline's fault that we didn't make the connection. Service reps said that this wasn't their problem since they were only 20 minutes late and blamed my booking. I'll never fly Alaska Airlines again." He rated this 2 out of 10. I didn't mention the other rating. Sorry about that, but here's my issue with this. Mr. Leahy, if you've been flying long enough and you're doing connecting flights, and I think I speak for anybody, especially who are at airports that are very busy and they need connecting flights, make sure your connecting flight time, especially if it's for a longer flight, not just like a little hop over, like a 20-minute jaunt to some city or some town, is at least 2 hours. That's my advice to any of you travelers. Have it at least 2 hours. Give yourself time. Especially if this guy, I think this was in Honolulu. I mean, Honolulu is a big airport. I love it. It's actually beautiful. Oh, I would stay there all day if I could. Honolulu is one of those airports. It's kind of like, it's weird. It's almost like imagine an H. For those of you who haven't been there, it's like an H and then like a half an H tilted 90 degrees. So it's, okay, I'm doing this, but you can't really see. So it's a tricky airport to kind of get around, especially with security. Because we had that problem too. We were late going to Honolulu from Bellingham. I think it was December 16th or 17th that we flew out. Not because it was snowy on Bellingham's side, because it gets socked in. And I think the one thing, for those of you who've flown to Hawaii or Fiji or Guam or any of those places in the South Pacific, not really talking so much about New Zealand or Australia, but the Philippines, perfect example. With being in the South Pacific, you can get a lot of socked-in weather, and sometimes your flights are delayed because of that. And when your flights are delayed because of socked-in weather, they're going to push back. They're going to push back your departure time, more or less because they know the pilots are predicting the time, and they know that it's still going to be socked over by the time they get there. So they're trying to give the exact amount of time that when it can blow over, they can say, okay, we're leaving this. Sometimes it'll be delayed because of weather, and you wait 20 minutes and then, like, okay, here we go, because they want to hit it right at the time where the socked in weather is moving away or just before it comes in. So sometimes you even have flights that'll leave early. So, I don't know if this is an amateur traveler or not, but my advice for any of you for connecting flights, especially when you're at an international airport, I would average 2 to 3 hours, because if you're really pressing an hour to 45 minutes, that's not smart, especially if you have to recheck in again and go through security through or end customs. So, tip of the night or tip of the podcast. So it could be day or night or morning or good morning, good afternoon, good evening, happy midnight. Give yourself at least 2 to 3 hours minimum. Don't give yourself an hour. I wouldn't even give yourself an hour and a half. 2 hours minimum, but I would go for 2.5, 3 hours, so you get your time really to change your connecting flights. Because I don't know how many people, and I've seen this at airports, where they're complaining about, connections and that, and sometimes rightfully so. But then if you show them your kind of itinerary from your trip, and they see that you booked a flight with a 45-minute delay to your next flight, you're kind of stupid for doing that. I mean, for instance, so getting back to when we went to Bellingham to Honolulu, because we were socked in, or it was socked in Honolulu. So we got there, and there's this dude going back to New Zealand. I guess he was studying, I think, in UBC or Simon Fraser in Vancouver University. And because we heard him, because he was a row or two back. And I mean, they got him off the plane first, and they did a great job, because he explained the situation. They said, look, we'll try. But the guy made his connection time to Auckland was 51 or 52 minutes. I mean, and we were a half hour late, so he made it on, because we got there. I think he had like 20 minutes to go, and everyone was cheering him on outside the plane. That was actually really funny. But yeah, so give yourself the extra time, especially when you're making your flights. Figure out the airline you want to take and book accordingly. So I am going to rate the airline now. I guess I'll do a quick thing of my experience. I have always liked them. Staff's professional friendly. It's a good low-cost airline, but nothing like a Ryanair. Quality of even in-flight meals, even buying any of their in-flight meals for like $5 or $6. They have some good pasta meals and stuff, and the beer and that is not too bad. Complimentary drinks and coffee, which is great. So overall experience, I can't complain too much, but that's really all I'm going to say for my experience. I'll take them again, and I actually might be taking them again next February, because I might be going back to Maui. So let's see if my experience with them changes at all. So before we get into the housekeeping and feedback section of the podcast, or feedback and housekeeping, I'm going to do my grading of the Alaska Airlines, or sorry, Alaska Airlines, not the Alaska Airlines. So first thing, fleet and aircraft related things, routes, all that. Out of 5, I rate them a 4.5. Between all their routes, they made it specifically clear they're a Western airline in North America that go to Mexico and Hawaii. Their fleet, especially investing in the 900ER, which may not be as big as a deal as the MAX, the in the 9, love that decision. They're still getting them. They're halfway through them. Love it. So their website and app, you know what? I'm going to be very generous on this one as well. I am giving them 4.5 again out of 5. The only thing that's missing, I think, is more of an accurate seat map, like someone like KLM uses when you book their flights. Oh my God, love it. So 4.5, that's the only thing missing. Other than that, their app is absolutely superb and all that. So the overall experience, though, since we have two 4.5s, I'm going to give them 4 out of 5 between dealing with the customer service, timing with the flights, hearing the reviews, my opinion on it. So I'm giving the overall experience of Alaska Airlines 4 out of 5, definitely a recommend point. And then the my experience portion out of 5, I'm as well going to rate it a 4 out of 5 because I really am not going to complain too much about Alaska Airlines, especially the price you pay and the quality that you get, which is good. It's above average, and that's all you're asking for, a good airline that provides you with decent service, or good service, good pilots, and nice flight crew, and people at the airport and the gates, either in LA, Seattle, Bellingham, Vancouver, are all very helpful, so love them. And that is it for the podcast, or the airline portion of it. We're going to come back on the other side and do feedback and housekeeping. I'll see you on the other side. All right, so we're in the final section of the podcast, feedback and housekeeping. Now, I do apologize because I started this podcast on the 17th, and it's already the 23rd in the evening, and people who are listening to this, or you guys, probably won't end up listening to this until the 24th, so I do apologize why it took so long. I wanted to have this episode up by the 19th on the Saturday, but it just didn't end up happening. I had one of my exams earlier this evening. I have one more left on Saturday morning, so why not finish it up here? I do apologize because my goal is to try right now in the beginning to get as many up as I can in whatever amount of time. So unfortunately, we didn't really get any feedback as much as I wanted to because I got none for emails. However, for all of you who have been continuing to subscribe to this podcast, especially after two podcasts, that's awesome. And giving me reviews on Podomatic, which is the live streaming feed, I really do appreciate it. I'm not going to keep this very long, so I'm going to say, please email me, theairlinepodcast@hotmail.com to get involved in the podcast. Give me suggestions, your reviews, comments. Send me voice memos through your apps to my email so I can get you on the show. That's right. I want to get all you listeners involved in the show. So email me, go to the website, www.theairlinepodcast.tumblr.com. And to finish it up, I'd just like to say thank all of you for listening and continuing to subscribe and download episodes. I'm actually really happy because I've only really made one actual review, and this one's much better than the first two episodes, and it's going to continue going that way. Next episode, I have a very good, or I'm actually very excited because I have a very cool, I guess good airline by the name of Air Italy. That's right, Air Italy. Who are they? Well, I can't wait for episode number 4 because I'm going to be telling you all about them, giving a review, and giving you guys out there, if you're planning to travel to Italy this summer, a few good travel tips that may help you. Anyway, I'm Jordan Willman. Thanks for listening to this great podcast on Alaska Airlines, and I'm glad that you could be a part of it and listen to it. Take care now, all right? Cheers.